Welcome to the Becoming You podcast, the podcast for women who are ready to unlock a more confident, joyful, and fulfilling life. I'm Megan, life coach and breathwork facilitator, and your no-nonsense bestie, here to provide you with the tools, resources, and insights you need to thrive. Every fortnight, we'll be diving into topics that matter the most to you, whether it's overcoming self-doubt, embracing your authentic self, or learning how to actually regulate your nervous system. Don't worry, I've got you covered. So let's jump in to this week's episode.
Hello and welcome to Becoming You podcast. I have not recorded an episode in months, and there is a reason for that. I have had a really big couple of months where I have moved interstate. I have moved my entire life from Melbourne up to Queensland, and I'm recording this episode today to share a little bit about what's been going on for me, what has transpired during that process and that journey, because it's been so fucking big. And I've learned some lessons, I've had some reflections, and I've managed to get through some obstacles, some challenges that I really want to share with you. And I could share this on Instagram, I could share this on social media, but for me, this feels like the best way for me to actually like articulate things in long form content, to really be able to honor what I've experienced and not feel like I've got to rush it, not feel like I've got to put it into like a 3-minute fucking video, because I love to talk. If you have listened to this podcast before, you will know I love to chat. So let's dive into my update. So I have lived in Melbourne for 10 years. I came here when I was 22, and people have asked me if my move from Melbourne to the Gold Coast was like impulsive, because I haven't really spoken that much to like the online world about this move, but it was not impulsive. I have wanted to leave Melbourne for over 3 years now, but the timing hadn't aligned. And circumstantially, it just hadn't been possible. So I had originally wanted to move with my ex-partner. So way back in early 2023, we decided that we were going to move together at the end of 2023. And we both worked remotely, so it was going to be perfect. We were saving our money, all the things. And then we broke up. And so that plan went to shit. And I spent the next few months picking up the pieces of my heart. It was the biggest heartbreak of my life. And I resigned to the fact that I would be in Melbourne for the foreseeable future, because moving across the country is a lot easier with two people, with two incomes, right? The rent, all the things. And so for me, I had to take a step back. I had to accept that Melbourne was home for now, and that the right time would come up for me to be able to make this move. So fast forward to 2024, which, by the way, was one of the most like financially difficult years that I've had in a while. I went back to the UK to see my family for the first time in 6.5 years, and that cost me a lot. It was a decision that I'm really glad that I made, and I'm glad that I did that trip, but it really set me back financially. And so again, I thought, well, this is just going to have to go on the back burner. It's still just not coming to fruition. It's not happening for me. I also was living alone in Melbourne, and I've been living by myself for 3 years, and I fucking love living by myself. And that was one of the things that was holding me back, was I knew that I could not afford to live by myself on the Gold Coast. I'd been looking at rentals for like I said, 3 years, and I could see the rental market going up and up and up, and it just was not going to be possible for me to do that. So I was at this crossroads. I was at this point in my life where I could absolutely stay in Melbourne if I wanted to, right? It wasn't that I was desperately unhappy. I had a foundation there. I built my life there. I've got friendships there and community, and life was pretty easy. Like, lacked a lot of stress, to be honest. I got to a point in my life where I felt really stable, but my soul, I had this inner knowing. I just knew that I wasn't meant to stay there. So I had this decision to make. I could stay and be okay, be happy, but know that it's not truly where I wanted to be. Or I could move and compromise on the fact that I wanted to live by myself, but just be in such a better environment. And I was like, I need to do that, right? If I don't do this now, when am I going to fucking do it? I was like, I'm single, I have no kids, I have a remote job. The time is now to do this. So I put that into the universe, October, November time last year. And I also put this out on Instagram. And as the universe works, I really quickly found someone to move with. She was also in Melbourne. She's also a coach. We met up, our dogs met each other, and we got on really well. And for the next 2 months, pretty much, we were looking for rentals and applying for rentals from Melbourne in the hopes that we would find something for us. And we were both fully in. We were like, fuck yes, we're doing this. Fast forward, my lease was up in January. January the 7th, my lease was up. And my real estate agent decided that they wanted to put my rent up by an obscene amount of money. And I'm sure anyone listening to this who rents can fucking relate. It's actually a joke. The rental market right now is a disgrace. And I was like, I'm not doing that. First of all, I actually negotiated, and I want to put that out there. If you get given a rental increase, you are more than within your rights to negotiate that. So I actually asked them if they could meet like this amount, because I couldn't afford the amount that they were suggesting, and they came back with a counter offer. And ultimately I said no, because I knew that I was moving. And so by the 7th of Jan, you had to be out. So I decided what I'm going to do is sell all my shit. And I'm going to drive up to the Gold Coast with my dog, and I'm going to find a rental while I'm up there, because how hard can it be, right? Like, I've set this plan in motion. The universe knows. I've got someone to live with. This is going to be great. I was like, I can go to inspections in person. Amazing. Guys, it just didn't go like that. And what I want to say here is an important part of the story that actually shifted my trajectory and what happened. Because my intention was never to come here and rent Airbnbs and spend money on accommodation before I found a rental. That was just not in the cards, because that's not something that I can afford. I don't have the resources for that. I do not have the financial freedom for that. I would love that, but that's not the place I'm at in my life right now, to just not have to worry about money and just spend money on accommodation until I found a rental. So I did not come here with that in mind. I actually came here and felt like I could come and make the move, because a friend that I had, who I'd met on Instagram, but I'd never met in person, we'd known each other for a couple of years, said that I was more than welcome to come and stay with her and her partner and her dog for as long as it took for me to find a rental. She was very open about this. She was very welcoming. She was very much like, my house is your house. You're more than welcome to stay with us until you find something. And this gave me this sense of like relief to feel like I could make the move and I would have somewhere to land and I would be held. I've really been stepping into my feminine era for a while now, where I'm being open to receiving support. And I feel like a lot of us hyper-independent women can relate to this. If you have had to take care of yourself, or if you have some wounds around this, like this feeling of needing to be independent and not wanting to burden people, can feel really difficult to receive, right? To receive help, to receive support, to actually ask and say to people, oh, I really need something from you right now. I really need some support. So I've been leaning into this side of myself. I've really been leaning into receiving and opening myself up to trust that people have got me and I'm allowed to receive help. And so this was a really beautiful way for me to do that and step into that and be like, somebody's got me and this is actually okay. So I moved up all my stuff, 3 days of driving, which I've told this to some people and they think it's hilarious. It took me that long. But when you've got a dog and you have never driven more than 3 hours by yourself, doing a 19-hour trip is a fucking lot. So I sold all my shit. Like I said, I actually ended up giving up a lot of my things because people were not buying between Christmas and New Year. So gave up all my stuff, packed anything else that I had. Literally, I threw away basically all of my belongings. I kept my clothes, I kept my books, I kept like my sound bowls. I kept things that were sentimental to me and minimal shit, essentially like starting my entire life again. I packed it all into my Mazda CX-3 and we drove. And something to note about my dog and why this whole thing has been quite difficult and challenging is that he has separation anxiety. Now, he is the absolute love of my life. He's my soul dog. They always say that you get the dog that you need, not the dog that you want. And I have honestly learned so much from this dog in the 4 years that I've had him. But he has separation anxiety, and something that I've really struggled with was how that's played out over the past month or so. Because when we were in Melbourne, we had been in the same place for 3 years. We lived together. It was just me and him. And he was in such a routine and environment that actually I didn't really notice his anxiety anymore because I lived this really free and flexible life. I could leave him by himself. He might bark for 5 minutes and then he would be super chill. I even went back to the UK for 3 weeks last year and my ex came and like took care of him for me in my apartment. And he said there was no trouble. And this dog was being left by himself for like hours at a time. So I'd kind of forgotten. I'd forgotten how bad this could get. But imagine me moving all my things around and selling all my things and this dog thinking, what the fuck is going on? Like, is she getting rid of me next? And then moving across the country for 3 days, staying in different accommodation. He was very, very unsettled when we got to the other side. He did not know what was going on and he was just doing the best that he could. Poor thing. So the drive was really stressful because he had to be with me at all times. So picture me like taking this dog into public toilets, like into the actual cubicle with me, because I'm like, I cannot leave this dog outside. Me running into the petrol station to pay because his dog is losing his mind in the car. It was really increasing my cortisol levels and my stress was pretty fucking high. The move itself, I didn't find too stressful, but the dog was creating a lot of internal stress for me. Anyway, we ended up arriving at this friend's place, and what transpired without going into too much detail and being really conscious that I am sharing from my perspective, I can only give you my perspective. I cannot give you anyone else's, right? So I want to be conscious of that as I'm speaking. I want to be conscious that there are always two sides to every story. But this is also my podcast, and I'm going to give you my lived experience, right? And what transpired for me. But I want to preface it with that because I understand that there is always another side to a story. But what transpired when we arrived was that our dogs actually didn't get along very well. They, after a few days, they were able to be in the same space as long as someone else was in the house, which we were because everyone worked at home. Everyone was at home the whole time. So that actually wasn't a problem. Bailey being really anxious had meant that whenever I left, he would like scratch. He would scratch at the door, and he'd bark. But again, that kind of like subsided as the week went on. And so we had been there a week and I could feel an energy shift. I trust my intuition 100%. Ladies, fucking trust yourself. Your gut knows. And long story short, we were asked to leave. We were given 3 days to leave, which, as you can imagine, was quite difficult to hear because I had put my trust in this person to hold me, to house me, to give me some stability for, however long it took to find a rental. And I didn't think it would take that long to find a rental, and it had only been a week, so I wasn't really stressed about that. But imagine driving for 3 days across the country with your entire life in your car with knowing nobody. I knew this person and I knew one other friend who I'd also never met in person, who had three kids. And that was the reason I wasn't staying with her, because she didn't have the space for me to be there. So I have two people that I know. and now I've been asked to leave. I have not planned financially for this because that was not on the cards. And if I wanted to rent Airbnbs, I would have just done that in the first place. And now I'm thinking, fuck, I don't know what to do. So I was given 3 days to leave. And as much as that's difficult, it's also the reality. And I talk about this all the time. We cannot resist reality. The more that you resist reality, the harder life will be. And also, we cannot control things outside of ourselves, right? The only thing that we can control is our thoughts and our actions. Anything outside of that is not ours to control. And so we have to come to a place of like surrender and acceptance of what is. So this was really frustrating for me. I felt incredibly let down. I was disappointed. I was becoming stressed, which is a normal response to being told you have to leave somewhere where you've got nowhere to go. But I honored that decision. And I went on Airbnb immediately to find a pet-friendly place that we could go. The problem that I had was that my dog was so anxious that I didn't want to be in a share, like an Airbnb with somebody who didn't know me, who I was going to be disrupting, because he was going to be disruptive and I needed to leave the house to go to inspections and all the things. So I needed to find a place that was just us, so I wasn't disturbing anybody else. This is why it became incredibly expensive for me. Because it was the height of the summer holidays in the Gold Coast with a dog. So kind of a recipe for disaster. Anyway, I found a place for 3 days' time that I was going to move into. So in the process of that, I was actually taking some time for me to process my emotions. This is why I say it comes from one perspective, right? And I can't possibly give you the other side. But doing the work that I do and understanding psychology and understanding how people often operate in the world, what I had noticed was that this person was exhibiting people-pleasing behaviors, not just with me, I had witnessed this. And what I think had happened is that she had overextended and overpromised on something in order to be perceived in a certain way, right? And then when that became too difficult and she couldn't honor the commitment, she had to then say, I can't do this anymore, like I can't commit. And this is the thing about people pleasing, guys. I really want you to take note with this. You might think that when you're people pleasing and you're telling people what they want to hear, it's actually being selfless, but it's not. It's being selfish. And you are trying to protect a perception of yourself. You are trying to control the perception other people have of you. And you really can't do that. Because what often happens is you start living inauthentically, right? You start doing things and saying things that you don't really want to. And then it creates an internal conflict within you, right? And we don't want that. So we want to make sure that we can be honest. Anyway, this is my perception of what happened. This person had tried to overextend and realized they couldn't commit. And because of that, the burden and the financial burden and the consequence fell on me. And that was difficult for me to process. So I am a person who, when in the past something would happen that might be triggering for me or might make me angry, I would absolutely react in the moment. I would fucking lose my shit. I would scream, I would shout, I would slam doors. I was absolutely crazy. And I'm not afraid to say that. That's a version of myself that existed with before the awareness and before the ability to actually calm myself down and manage my emotions, which is incredibly important. So now what happens is when something happens that triggers me or I'm put in this situation, I actually go internally to process this, but communicate that with the person. So I had actually asked for some space and some grace to process my emotions because I wasn't okay. And I really want to say this. Please hear this, anyone who's listening. You are well within your rights to tell somebody that you need space to process. That is not unhealthy behavior. If you communicate with somebody directly, what it is that you actually require right now, what it is that you need, for example, I need some space and I will come back to you, then that is perfectly within your rights. You don't owe someone an explanation immediately. You don't have to have a conversation right there and then. And if that other person cannot hold you in that, they can't deal with the discomfort, they can't deal with the anxiety that that creates within them, that is not on you. Right? You're not responsible for their emotions. You are only responsible for your own and for communicating clearly. So that's what happened. That's what happened, is that I took some time. And unfortunately, this person wanted things to be back to normal and okay immediately. And they weren't considering the actions and the consequences of the actions, which just meant that there was a disconnect. So I slept on it. Yeah, I processed my things. I slept on it. And this is the beautiful thing about fucking understanding your nervous system, understanding your mind, being able to hold yourself in your emotions and your discomfort, is that you can move through things really fucking quickly. Right? They don't drown you. You're not in it for days. You don't need to be. You can allow things to move through you, especially when you can accept reality, right? So by the next morning, I actually said to this person, shall we hug it out? Let's hug it out. Like, it's all good, right? Because I'd let that go. And they'd agreed with that. What then happened next blindsided me and left me in a position where I was literally homeless. Because later that morning, I actually received a text message from this person's partner who also lived there, who was in the room next to me, did not have a face-to-face conversation, telling me that I had to leave by 5 o'clock that day because I had not respected a boundary and my behavior was not acceptable. And the reason this threw me is because I am fully aware of my behavior and I'm a very embodied fucking person. What I share online is who I am. I know it because I have had to do so much fucking work to not be the person who is reactive, who is disrespectful, who is like shouting, who is passive aggressive. I've done so much work to get myself to a place where I know that I can own my shit and that I can process it in a healthy way. And this is exactly what happened in that situation. And unfortunately, when, like I said, someone people pleases, or there's maybe just discomfort. Like if you are someone who, when you try and set a boundary or you try like speak up for yourself, you feel really uncomfortable. Sometimes you just want that to be like over. So you will set the boundary or say the thing, and it creates so much discomfort because you don't want the other person to think badly of you, that you need them to respond in a certain way. You need them to react in a certain way. And if they don't, it doesn't fit with what you expected, and therefore it creates more anxiety. And you can end up making that person wrong, right, for their response. And so this is what I think happened. Again, my perception, cannot tell you from the other person's perspective, they're not here and they're also no longer in my life. But this is what I think had happened. And so I had to leave. I was given a few hours to get my stuff. Now, I want to say at this point, when you like pack your entire life into a car and you like drive for 3 days, then you can never pack that car up the same fucking way again, right? It's just not going to happen. So I was in this predicament of like, I've got all of this stuff and I don't know how I'm going to like put my dog back in the car and all, like, how is this going to work? I was in full freeze mode at this point because now it was like an immediate threat. What am I going to do? I am in a place where I don't have anybody. I've got nowhere to go. I've got like, what am I going to fucking do? What hurt me the most in this situation was that throughout these conversations, which there were only a couple, things moved very quickly. Not once was I asked if I was okay. How was I doing? How was I feeling? Did I need some help on finding somewhere? The feelings were all about how they were being perceived and keeping up that persona, if you like. And as a friend, it didn't sit right with me. Because if I had to make a decision like that for somebody, for my own reasons, right? Let's say the roles were reversed and I couldn't honor my end of the bargain for whatever reason. I would want to make sure that my friend, who was in a completely different state by themselves, had some support and had somewhere to go. And then I want to help them in that. And this is really important to me. So when you do not receive that, that becomes misaligned, unaligned, right? And this was the first breakdown that I had, but also the first beautiful reflection and lesson. Because through this, I found an incredible woman through the powers of Instagram, of course. So one of my besties back in Melbourne has a membership. And I have done 2 calls inside that membership for the women in there. Love that space so much. And one of those women happened to have moved from Melbourne to the Gold Coast a couple of months before. And so I was put in touch with her. And I asked her if I could stay with her for like 2 nights before I got to my Airbnb. And she was so welcoming. She was so fucking awesome. She has two beautiful kids under five and a dog. And me and Bailey went and we stayed in her kids' playroom, like on the floor in a swag for 2 nights. She put us up. She welcomed us with open arms. They fed us. I was playing with her kids. It was a chaotic, overstimulating 2.5 days. I hope she listens to this. But it was honestly the most fucking wholesome time. And I felt so held and so seen and so valid and so fucking grateful. And it reminded me to always keep the faith in humanity because good people exist everywhere. They truly fucking do. From there, I spent the next 3.5 weeks tirelessly and endlessly and desperately looking for a rental, applying for all the things, being on flatmates, being in Facebook groups, and staying in Airbnbs. And I must have spent about $4,000 on Airbnbs. Now, that was never part of the plan. I mentioned this on my stories the other week. It was never part of my plan, my conscious plan, but it was obviously part of the bigger plan. So I wouldn't have landed where I am right now had I not experienced that. And the second lesson, almost the second reflection that I had come up was that one of my biggest fears that I've had for the longest time is around being homeless, not having stability, not having security, and not having money. They are like core fear unlocked. And I was faced with it. I was faced with the title of like, homeless. I don't have a fucking home. I was faced with the lack of stability, the lack of security. And I had to spend this money that was just, I didn't feel like I had the resources available to be able to do that. It was incredibly scary to be having to hand over money, not knowing when this was going to end, right? First Airbnb, okay, cool. 4 days here, 5 days there. Then it's like, oh, 7 days. And you don't know when that's going to end. And that also creates a lack of certainty in yourself because you're like, how long am I going to have to do this? Because I actually can't continue to do this. Something has to fucking change. And this journey, this past month, has really allowed me to detach from expectations, from outcomes, from material things, from places. You realize how much you don't need, right? Like all the things that you think are necessary, they're not. And for so many of us, in fact, I would say for most of us, we are seeking home in stability outside of ourselves, right? We are seeking like a foundation, a place that we have that's secure. We often even seek home in someone else. But when you're faced with this situation, there is none of that outside of you. I had to find that safety and stability and security within myself because I had no other fucking choice. It didn't exist externally. And for that reason, I'm fucking stronger for it. I am stronger on the other side of it because I had to face the thing that I was actually terrified of. And I realized, oh shit, I did it. I actually did it. I also faced my fear of being a burden to people. And I spoke about that a little bit before when you're hyper independent. But one of my beautiful friends, the one that I said I also hadn't met in person, she had kindly stored some of my things for me because obviously I could not pack my car up the same way that I had done it. And I was like, wow, she's done so much for me. You know, like she has stored this stuff for me and she's been there for me. And I had two nights where I had nowhere to stay. And I remember her message said to me on Instagram, it was something along the lines of, I've already asked you if you want help. I'm just waiting for you to receive it. It was something like so blunt and direct. It was like, I fucking offered you the help. I'm just waiting for you to actually receive it. And in that moment, I immediately wrote back to her and I was like, okay, I accept it. I accept it. I'm coming to stay with you. And, you know, that was another like dropping of ego and going, I could really actually really need this help right now. I could not take it and I could try and find an Airbnb for 2 nights and unpack all my stuff again and pack all my stuff up again and spend like another $500, $600, or I could take the help that's been offered to me. And I did. And so, yeah, it's again allowed me to drop into that space of receivership and being like, it's okay. Like, I'm actually not a burden. This is a circumstance that rarely happens. And if you've got people that are willing to fucking help you, then like, take them up on it. Take them up on it. Because it's like, I know if they were like, if the shoe was on the other foot, I would do the same. And we often say this, right? You're usually the supportive person for everybody else. But then when it comes to them supporting you, you're like, oh, no. It's fine. I don't need it. But it's like, they're actually more than fucking willing to help you too. You have to just receive it. And that was another beautiful lesson for me. Something else that I've really struggled with over this time is, it's been 6 weeks for me not stepping inside a gym. And for anyone that follows me, anyone that knows me, health is such a big fucking part of my life. And I am like very much in the gym 3 times a week without fail. It's my go-to place. It's how I process my anger. It is how I stay mentally fucking strong. It is how I feel good in my body. And so being at a place where it wasn't really possible for me to go, I couldn't leave Bailey by himself. Obviously, I work from home. I didn't know where I was going to be living as well. So I didn't want to like join a gym that was going to end up being far away from where I lived. So all I've done to work out has been walks every day, which obviously happens very easily when you've got a dog. But all the thoughts that come along with that, oh my God, all the training that I've done for the past 18 months or whatever, that's gone to shit. What if I put on weight? What if I lose all my like muscle now? All the things, all of the negative spiraling that happens, especially when we're in survival mode, when our body is in fight or flight, this is when our negative thoughts spiral more. This is when they come to the surface, all of the catastrophizing, all of the what ifs, oh my God, all of the overwhelm. But I haven't allowed myself to drown in that. I've witnessed them. I've had them come up. And then like yesterday, I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, it's not even that fucking different. And I actually went to the gym yesterday for the first time in 6 weeks. And I was like, okay, this could be really humbling, but actually I still know how to do all the movements. Like, I've actually not lost too much strength. And now I get to start again and I get to take on this challenge. I don't need to shame myself. I don't need to judge myself for what I couldn't do in the circumstance that was outside of my control. Right. Again, let me surrender to the reality. Let me surrender to what is, because I can't change it and I can't go backwards. So I have to start again right now. And that's felt really good for me. And one of the other things I want to talk about here is how we often have a vision for something and we're like, yes, I want to do this thing and I see it and I desire it. And we start off with quite a lot of belief. And as time goes on, that belief starts to dwindle a little bit. And so at the beginning, when I found my friend to live with and we were like, yes, we're locked in, how exciting, my belief was really fucking high. And then as time went on and we were getting rejected and we were not finding rentals, I was like, oh, don't know. And then I came here and we still weren't getting rentals. And then, you know, the situation happened with that ex-friend. And then I'm like, wow, things are actually getting worse. And you start to question. There have been moments where I've been like, was this the right decision? Have I made a fucking mistake here? I've just left a life behind me and I've just like blindly trusted that this is going to work and it doesn't feel like it's fucking working out. Was this a really irresponsible thing to do? What if I'm not meant to be here? Holy shit. You start to lose some of that faith. And I actually just want to say that that can be normal, especially when the situation that you're in creates this survival response, right? Because again, when you're kicked into your fight or flight, you'll notice that your responses are different and it's your job to manage that. And I definitely have had so many moments of tears, breakdowns, like crying in the fucking supermarket, crying in the car, crying all the time. But I've allowed myself to experience that and I've allowed that to come up, understanding that it's temporary. Everything is fucking temporary. Every single thing that you experience is temporary. And so if you are going through a challenge in your life right now, if things feel really fucking tough, just know that it will end. Things will get better. It will change. This is not your forever. Things always move forward. And I've been reminding myself of that over and over again. One of the things I kept saying to myself was, there's no other option. I have no other option but to find a house. I have no other option but to find a house, because I didn't. And beautifully and eventually, I found a place to live. And when me and my friend were originally looking together, we had this like list of things that we desired. You know, what do we actually want in a home? And side note, this beautiful friend of mine, by the way, the reason that that didn't work out is because she was tossing up between Sunny Coast and the Gold Coast. And as time was going on, she said to me, I've applied for a place in the Sunny Coast, and if I get it, then I'm meant to be there. And if I don't, then let's continue looking on the Gold Coast. And I was like, love that for you. Like, go for it, sis. And she ended up getting approved. And that was absolutely where she was meant to land. And I love that for her. And it's so amazing. And I'm going to go and visit her in a couple of months. Like, so fucking excited. But when we were looking, what I said is, I want to be close to the beach. This is the whole fucking point of me moving. I want to be near to the beach. I want to have a back garden for Bailey. That would be really nice. I want to have my own bathroom. And I want to have an office space that's not within my bedroom. That's what I would like. And where I've landed, it's not how I pictured it, but it's exactly what I asked for. I have an amazing bedroom. It's huge. A back garden. I have my own bathroom. I have my own office. And I am less than 5 minutes walk to the beach. And I just think, holy shit. Like, I literally was walking with Bailey the other day in the morning to the beach, and I just cried. I just cried with gratitude. It's exactly what I asked for. Not the way that I thought it would come about, not how I thought it would look, yet it's exactly what I wanted. And I think there's a lesson in that too. The more that we resist reality or we try and force things to be a certain way, things often feel more challenging, more tough, like we're pushing a fucking rock uphill. Whereas when we can kind of surrender and let that go, things fall into place as they should. And that's definitely been coming up for me, and it's definitely been a good lesson for me. And of course, I would not be where I am if I did not have the tools and resources and strategies available to me. I know that if I didn't understand my nervous system, if I had not reprogrammed my beliefs, if I didn't have an optimistic and positive mindset, I wouldn't have got through this. I wouldn't have even made the fucking move in the first place, let's be honest, because I wouldn't have had the courage to do so. And people have said to me, oh, you're so courageous. Oh, I couldn't do that. And I disagree, because I think if you want something enough, you will find it within you to do it. It's just like your values. If you say you value something, you'll show up for it. If you don't show up for it, you don't fucking value it. And sometimes that's hard for people to hear, but it's the fucking truth. And it might take you some time to get there. Like for me, I've had this in my heart for 3 years. It didn't come to fruition for 3 years, but I never gave up on that. Just like my business. The funniest thing about this time period, the past like a month or so, is that the more that I was having to spend money on accommodation, the more money was flowing in from my business. And it was like the universe was saying, we see you, we see this situation, and we've got you. And that's been a real eye-opener too for me to trust the fucking process and be like, but it's coming. Like, more is fucking coming. And fun story as well, I'm only going to share this on here, I'm not going to share this on Instagram, but last week, or whenever I made the decision to move into this place, I checked my bank account, and I get paid from my full-time job on a Wednesday. Now I'm a contractor, so I only get paid for what I work, and it had been a short week, so I should have earned less money than usual, right? But I looked at my bank account, and I had $1,100 more in my account than usual. I was like, what the fuck? So I went to check my pay slip. It had the normal amount on it. I went to check my timesheets in case I had put too many hours in. All normal. Yet $1,100 landed in my account and there's no trace of it. These are the moments where I go, holy shit. The universe fucking knows. This is manifestation 101. This is me making a decision and being fucking rewarded for it. And it was the reminder that I needed to keep trusting, keep going, because things are always working out. And so now I get to step into this next chapter. And I felt for a while I've been in this transition phase. You know, when I knew I was leaving Melbourne and I was packing up all my things and I was selling things and saying goodbye to everybody, but I hadn't yet left. And then I got here and I was in this homeless phase and like not settled at all. And I was like, I'm still in the transition. And now I've landed and I have a home. And like, I feel finally like I'm stepping into this next chapter, like it's actually here. And now I have the excitement of exploring the new place that I'm in and adventuring and like getting myself back into a routine, which I love and live for. It's actually been a real struggle for me not having that. And it feels really fucking good. And my nervous system is absolutely like recalibrated now and feels so much better. But just being able to understand how to support myself through these difficult times has been so important. You need to be able to understand how your nervous system works and what you can do to support it. And you've got to take full responsibility for that. Because sometimes there are things that happen outside of you that you cannot control, and yet you've still got to navigate it. You've still got to get yourself through it. So I'm incredibly grateful for the work that I've done on myself, and I'm fucking proud of myself. And this has been another beautiful reflection for me. I know how embodied I am in this fucking work. For me, integrity and authenticity are so important to me. I will always show up with the realness. And I will never teach on something that I haven't experienced myself, that I haven't gone through myself, that I haven't mastered. I'm never going to sit here and tell someone to regulate the nervous system if I can't do it myself. I'm going to tell people to feel more confident, right? I'm not going to tell people to set boundaries if I can't do it myself. This has been a true testament to my own growth, my own evolution over the past 5 years, to know that I can fucking do anything. We all can do anything. We just have to have the right strategies in place and just reprogram some of those beliefs that are actually getting in your fucking way. This is what I help my clients with. I help them build that internal confidence, that internal trust that says that I've got me no matter what. So they can overcome that fear of judgment, so they can actually do the things that they want to do. So they no longer sit there and say, oh, you're so courageous. I wish I could do that. They actually just do the things that they want to do because they know that they have the skills and the resources to navigate it and to hold themselves through it. This lights my soul on fire. I love this work so fucking much. So that's all I wanted to share with you today. A little life update. If you're curious about how we can work together, how I can support you on your journey, send me a DM on Instagram with the word coaching. I would love to have a chat. Or if you want something that's going to help you calm your nervous system and connect to your body, go to the link in my show notes to access my free nervous system reset. Thank you so much for tuning in, wherever you are in the world, and I'm sending you so much love.
Thanks for tuning in to the Becoming You podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe or share on your socials and tag me at @MeganScholey_. It really helps us reach more amazing women like you. See you in the next episode.